Is it on? Yeah, it is. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. What's up, everybody? So, Joe said to get your scriptures out, but I don't mean to disappoint anyone. We're not going to read a lot of it, okay? Because, as he's been saying, we're trying to get away from someone coming up here reading what we're supposed to be reading every week and just like pouring knowledge into your head. So, I'm just going to continue to encourage you guys to read the Parsha on your own at home. Okay, so I'm gonna be discussing some concepts and gonna be pulling out things here and there, but I'm not gonna do a lot of reading this week. So I just wanted to give you guys a little heads up. All right, so now that that band-aid has been yanked off, let's get right into things. So of course the name of the parashot are Vayikel and Pekudi. It's a double parsha this week. And so the first verse in chapter 35 reads, "And Moshe gathered all the assembly of the children of Israel." Excuse me, sorry about that. And in Hebrew it reads, "Vayikel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael." Okay? So another way you could translate it is, "And Moshe assembled all the assembly of Israel." Okay? This is how Hebrew is commonly written. They don't use a lot of synonyms like we would in English. They use like the same word, in the same sentence to describe something. It's called Hebrew word puns. So anyway, the word assembly, the root word of vayakel, is this word here. Kahal means assembly as a noun, okay? And in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, it's rendered as ecclesia. Okay, I don't know the Greek alphabet, so we'll have to settle with the transliteration. Okay, so what's really interesting is that, or what's unfortunate is that often in the English translations, in the Old Testament, anytime this word is used, it's translated in English as assembly. Okay. Whenever we get to the New Testament, after Yeshua has come, the same word that should be translated as assembly all the time is translated now as church. Okay. So this is replacement theology 101. Okay. So I just want to make you guys aware of this. Whenever you see church in the New Testament, it's referring to assembly. Okay. Now, I know that I'm not going to blow any minds here, but it's the same assembly as the one that came out of Egypt, out of Sinai. All right? So, I don't really care if you're a Christian, if you're Hebrew roots, if you're Messianic, if you're a God-fearer, if you're an Orthodox Jew, a conservative Jew, whatever other denominations there are. I really care about if you're Israel, if you're the Kahal, the assembly, because that's how I know if you're family. That's where I draw the line. That's how I associate. So, another quick thing that I just want to point out is this. Now we have a theological problem with Matthew 16, verse 18, right? "On this rock, I will build my church." Now, I will not open that can of worms today. But the foundation, the rock, the foundation that Yeshua is the Messiah, Son of God, the assembly, the church built on that, as I said, is Israel. Okay, so I just want you guys to make that connection. We have to stop separating because this says old entity, brand new entity, when that's not the case. They're the same. Okay. Just wanted to point that out. So now, whenever I was reading in Hebrew, I know I kind of went on a rabbi trail there. Whenever I was reading in the Hebrew, you guys might have noticed that there was an et there, right? And we've talked about that. Et is olive tav, right? So what's the point about, whether you're Israel or not? I made a big deal about that. It's because in this first verse of chapter 35, Sod HaElohim, the mystery of God, the secret of God, a word for Yeshua, a title of Yeshua, is hidden, right? Because he said that he's the Aleph and the Tav, and not all of you may agree with the Aleph Tav theology, but just entertain me, okay? So how can we see Yeshua here in this Parsha? Can anybody just throw something out? Like, any is there any foreshadowing? Yeah, go for it. Right. It's good. I'm looking for something really specific in the first passage. I'll just go on and spit it out. Okay? So this is the second time that Moshe is descending from Sinai, right? It's a foreshadowing of the second coming. Okay? What does he do whenever he gets down? He gives the ordinances for Shabbat, right? The second coming is understood as the fulfillment, the fullness being brought forth of the Shabbat. We'll finally have rest. There will finally be peace for our souls. Something else to point out is that this is what is traditionally understood, so take it for what it is. Either, you know, say that's cool or not. We're still friends. Won't hurt my feelings. Okay? The incident of the golden calf occurred on Yom Kippur. Okay? That's how it's traditionally understood. The Mishkan is traditionally understood to be built during Sukkot. So we have this foreshadowing. We have Moshe coming down for a second time. And we understand that the fall feasts are linked to the second coming. Can everyone see this? Really pretty cool. But now I kind of want to talk about some interesting things about the names of the Parshot. So Pekudi means accounting of, right? What's interesting about the names, though, is that Pekudi is about counting. It's about individuality, you know, one by one. And Vayakel is about gathering, because that's what it means to assemble, right? However, Vayakel is more about the individual aspects of the Mishkan, and Pekudi is about the completion of the Mishkan as a whole and how it functions, right? So what does this tell us? These two parshot are connected. Even though they're not read at the same time every year, the names still, you know, the concepts of the names still tie them together, okay? And I think this is something that we really need to hear in this movement. I'm talking to somebody out there and maybe even someone in here. This should tell us that we need both, okay? So we cannot have one without the other, the individual and the assembly. All right, so this has potential to be kind of confusing, so I'll say it a different way. Vayakel's title speaks of assembly, but its content is about individuality. Does that make sense? If not, just let me know. And Pekudei's title is about making accounting for accounting, but its content is about unity. All right? So we have a little bit of both inside of us, okay? We have the need for community, and we have a desire to be an individual and to be distinct. Okay? What's kind of interesting is this tells us that since they go together, we're not a faceless mass, right? We're not just we're a group of individuals whose personalities, perspectives, and individuality contribute to the whole. Does that make sense? All right. Sorry, I'm going to be looking down and reading a lot because I just wrote a lot this time. While the community should help bring out the strength of our personal uniqueness, as we say all the time, we want unity and not uniformity, right? And also, each has a little of the other, as we talked about with the titles, right? Communities consist of people actively contributing with their individuality. That's why we cycle through with the parshas. A different person reads every single week because we all offer something different, you know, another facet of the diamond. While the individual can only actualize and discover their uniqueness by being in a community. Does that make sense? You don't even really realize what your gifts are until you put yourself around other like-minded people and you can offer and contribute. And I believe personally that these parshot are read at this time of the year for a reason, okay? Because what's coming up? Passover, right? It's a time where we reflect on our deliverance as an assembly from Egypt, and we reflect on our personal deliverance through Yeshua, okay? We also, what are some of the other things that, we spend the whole week of unleavened bread searching our own hearts for our sins, right? But the whole community has to clean their house, and we all meet on the Shabbatot, you know, the Sabbath of the week. So there's individuality and community, and you need both. And it's interesting that during this time, these parshas bring that out. Okay, so now I'm just going to give a quick rundown of what actually happened. And it kind of seems like overkill, because these were already covered in the past parshas, like Terumah and Tetzaveh. But something that you learn as a student, especially in college, if it's repeated or if they spend a whole lot of time on it, pretty important. Which is why, again, if you haven't read it, I really encourage you to read it, because a summary can't really do it justice. You really need the details, because each time, as Joe has said over and over, each time that something is repeated or gone over again, you get just a little bit more detail. All right, so here we go. Moses assembles the people of Israel and reiterates to them the commandment to observe the Shabbat. He conveys God's instructions regarding the making of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The people donate the required materials. I won't list all those for you. Moses actually has to tell them to stop giving, because they had an abundance of materials. Right? So then a couple of artisans, who you guys know well, hopefully by this point, make the Mishkan and its furnishings, and they do it according to the pattern that has already been laid out. But what's interesting is that the Mishkan was recreated according to the pattern, not duplicated. And I would argue that there's a huge difference, because in Hebrew thought, something is created to fulfill a purpose, right? And something is only good when it does fulfill its purpose. So whenever God created the heavens and the earth, and he created light, he saw that it was good, he saw that it fulfilled its purpose, right? So if we're going to use that same parallel where, you know, like, the age-old thing where light is good and darkness is bad, you know, our inclination to do evil, whenever we're doing good, whenever we're the light of the world, we're fulfilling our purpose. We're in the tabneith of the Messiah. We're following the pattern, right? And whenever we're not, you know, we're akin to darkness. And this is where Yeshua's teachings really shine. Don't just do the commandments. Do the commandments. Same way, like, you can't have just individuality and not community, and just community and not individuality. You can't just do the commandment but not do it for God, and because you want to in your heart. It's your heart's desire. Because if you just do one or the other, you're not fulfilling the whole. It's not good. You're not fulfilling your purpose. You're not fulfilling the purpose of the commandment. So the sages say you might as well not even do it. You know, take that for what it is, too. All right, so then in Pekodei, an accounting is made of the gold, silver, and copper donated by the people for the making of the Mishkan. The priestly garments are made according to the specifications communicated to Moses in the past parshas. And the Mishkan is completed, and all its components are brought to Moses, who erects it and anoints it with the holy anointing oil, and initiates Aaron and his four sons into the priesthood. A cloud appears over the Mishkan, signifying the divine presence has come to dwell within it. And that's all I have for you guys this morning. So I'll see you guys whenever we eat.